more than welcome to our live talk program. This is Lloyd Grump here, your host on Revive Reform Radio, doing our live talk program covering the importance of church and this year, Tuesday morning, rise and shine and give God the glory. And this morning here, I'm looking at the topic, false prophets, scammers are creating much of the coldness in society. So welcome again, hopefully the blessed night rest and ready to take on the challenges of today. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you for the blessings of your word and for the blessings, dear Lord, of knowing thee, the only true God. Pray that you may be with us, dear Lord, as we study together, and may, dear Lord, our minds be understanding in what to do, dear Lord, to protect ourselves and our hearts and our minds for Christ's sake. Amen. So I'm looking here at this topic. False prophets, scammers are creating much of the coldness in society. And so I'm continuing our thought from yesterday. So the main thought for the next few days here is, as we see the increased conspiracy theorists, multi-level marketers, Ponzi schemers, and things like war of conquest, persecution, disaster, false prophets, and false teachers, it's important to not get caught up into these things and cause our love to wax cold. So it's important for us to not get caught up into these things, because these things will cause people love to wax cold, and I'll illustrate that in a few minutes as I did yesterday. And so that's our main takeaway point for this next few days here. Before I go to Matthew, my main thought for today is I'm discussing some solutions now. I'm going to talk about some solutions. So we're jumping right into the solution part of what we do here. To overcome scammers and false prophets and not end up becoming cold and confused like much of society. So I want to just share some thoughts from the Bible and then from just what I've observed over life and things that I've read and other things that people have done in different parts of the world to try to deal with scammers and dictators and authoritarian leaders and, you know, all the things that come along with, that we all have to deal with in this society and in the world. So our main text is in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read a few verses out of Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 here, Christ illustrates the troubles that come when people are locked into false leaders. Notice here, Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So verse 4 starts out here talking about this idea that deception is something that we have to deal with. This is part of the narrative of life. And one can think that we're living in a sophisticated society with a lot of technology. And so deception should not be like that. We should not have so many people so easily deceived. But deception doesn't work like that. Some people seem like they want to be deceived. And so one has to understand that sophistication with technology doesn't mean that one is deceivable proof or deceiving. You can't be deceived or tricked or bamboozled. When we look at people like Bernie Madoff, he took out some of the richest people in society. So this is important to note. With a Ponzi scheme, one would think it's only poor people get caught like that. So money, the amount of degree a person have doesn't mean that they can't be duped. So notice here again, in Matthew 24, verse 7. For a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquake in diverse places. So when there's an emergency, when there's a lot of bad things going on in society, that's when you really need people that you can trust, people you can lean on. And that's when, if you don't have people you can lean on, life can become very difficult. And then you can start to become even more suspicious. Because again, when there's war, nations rising against nation, most of the time, almost all wars are based upon wars of conquest, wars of theft. Is somebody trying to steal somebody's property or somebody trying to defend from theft? This is why war happened. And so when these things happen, then you have people can't trust each other. Nation can't trust nation. And you don't know if somebody within your nation is trying to be a double agent or trying to play both sides. And this is part of the thing. So then you lose trust. The environment is an untrustworthy environment. So there's deceivers and then there's wars. And then now there's scarce resources because of famine and pestilence. And then there's sickness. And who knows what to trust? And if you're looking at what's going on directly in our society right now, you can see this is the problem when it comes on to information. Who to trust? Who do you believe in? And that's always an issue. So then some of the things we're going to talk about today will address some of that. Verse 10 says, "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." So because persecution, what he's talking about, the few verses we skip, then when there is persecution, when there is all kind of problem and nobody knows who's to trust, then people start to betray each other because of dislike or because of hate, or betray each other because it's a fight for survival. And, you know, I'm just going to survive. I don't care about anybody else. Verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. So in that environment, the problem is exacerbated by false prophets. So there's people now, like, they definitely intend to deceive their fellow human being. It's not. And that's the worst to deal with. And as I say, I'm giving you solutions here to deal with that. Because when you deal with somebody that is, it's set out to win somebody confidence and to then con them, that's dangerous, because what it is, the person is, that's their mode of operation. And so they become masters of it. And I've noticed in life that there's certain things that if you tell me something, you know, most of the time, why would I disbelieve you? And then I'm going to think, why would you tell me such a crazy thing? I'm like, oh, the person's a con man. And so that's the problem with all this, you know. So there's people who, that's their mode of operation. They intend to pull a fast one because they're con. They're just con men and con women. Verse 12 says, "And because iniquity now shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." So iniquity is like a bad habit that a person is not breaking, or a sin that a person is intentionally doing and they're not trying to break it. They just do it. This is how they do business. And so when you deal with a person that's iniquitous, love will wax cold. There's people that fall into sin because they do something wrong, and sometimes they make a mistake. But there's somebody that, no, that's just the way they operate. They're not making a mistake. It's just they're going to do this until either they die or they get locked up in prison, but they're not going to stop, or sickness. And so that's why we understand sometimes these diseases must run. And so that's sometimes the only thing that shut people down. If you didn't notice that, for like most of this year, mass murders and these shootings and stuff almost came to a stop because a lot of people are locked up, locked in. Now domestic violence increased and other things increased. So they just turned their attention somewhere else and they brought it to the family and stuff. But notice here, May 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So why? So I'm going to talk about why here. Why do I believe that the elect has some protection, that those who are con men and con women don't have carte blanche, they don't have free rein to just deceive and trick everybody, and so that we can learn what to do to be able to not be so easily bamboozled and hoodwinked by those who are con men and con women. Two set of texts before I go into some of the solutions here. Two set of texts here. To encourage your soul and to guide you along. From the word here, notice here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. It says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." So that's kind of where we want to be, right? We want to listen, right? We want to hear, and we want to increase learning, because that's what it is. It's just this idea here. Like when I was young, this concept would have been hard to explain to me, that there will be somebody out there in life that they're just going to tell you nonsense. But you learn. As you come amongst other people, you realize there's people from a young age that they start to develop this shysty, con man. They're shifty. They're always trying to pull a fast one. And then you start to learn, wow, there's people that just, that's just their mode of operation. And they're trying to get something, but they can't. It's like, you know, if somebody say, okay, I want $5. There's people who just can't never ask for $5. They have to come up with a trick. And they believe that if they ask, they probably won't get. So they just always trick. And they'll get often if they just ask, but they have developed this bad habit that, this iniquity, that they just have to just deceived. And then they start to realize, oh, if I can deceive someone out of five, then probably I can deceive them out of a 500. And so on and so forth. And they just never stop. It gets out. So you want to learn. You want to understand life. And so most people sometimes come through life and they're going to learn some tough lessons because they never stop to learn. They would never listen to a program like this because it's not a musical program. And it's not just mindless motivation. So you increase learning and you increase understanding. What is understanding? You basically be able to grasp, comprehend what's going on, grasp the world around you. A man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. So you can give wise counsel to people that are foolish and people that are vapid and people that are not interested to receive something that is not a sound bite or a meme. There's many people, their wisdom and their understanding of life come from memes that are on social media. And that person will be duped all day long. Because life cannot be taught from a meme, and that's one of my solutions coming up. Wise counsel takes time. It's somebody that has sit and observe life and then want to give something. It can't be explained in 5 minutes. Very important to understand that's part of the problem. Part of the problem that I have on my list here is that too often people want to get information real quick. And they want in a 5 minute clip, not a documentary. They don't want a book with 300-500 page. They want it real easy. And those are people that are already set up to be duped, you know. And also, well, I'll go into some more. I'll go into the solutions soon too. So to understand a proverb, right? So to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So you see, I mean, most of the time you can get it. You see, this is for vapid people that is viral. And there's a vibe to there because a lot of memes sometimes is just old sayings that people put up and you can get it. But to understand the proverbs, often you have to pull back and because there's an enigma, it's like, what? You have to pull back, read and pull back and meditate and say, what is it saying? And at first, probably the meaning is very obvious. And then later on, you find out the meaning goes deeper. So this is what we want to understand. We want to understand Proverbs because there was much thought that went into that. And these Proverbs often were written over hundreds of years, probably thousands of years. And you observe human behavior and you came to a conclusion that is rock solid. And you see it happen over and over again. You'd be like, wow, I'm glad I learned that proverb because it informs me of how to watch and observe people. So this is where we want to be, right? So notice here the interpretation, right? We want to understand what's the interpretation. Well, how do you understand that proverb? And the more you understand it, the deeper it gets. The words of the wise, right? It's easy to get the words of the fool. Just go listen to the top 100 songs in the last 50 years and you can get a lot of the words of the fools. You get the idiots and what they have said. Quite entertaining too. You know, just a lot of foolish gobbledygook. And the dark sayings, they're dark sayings. Because what is a dark saying? It's something that, man, you can't even... It's either dark because, man, that's cryptic and crazy. Or it's dark because I can't understand what it is. You know, but light and vapid, mindless sayings, you know, are easy. They tickle you. Tickle your brain. Nonsense. They're not going to help you avoid being scammed. Notice here it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If all you had was a fear of God, because you fear God, not because you respect God, but because you fear God, there's many things that you would avoid doing that are just dumb. Most of the things that people do, what is viewed as adventurous, as risk-taking, because they don't fear no God. Many of it has to do with something either wicked or something that's very careless. But if you fear God, you avoid many of these things. And somebody said, man, you seem like a wise person. Well, I'm not wise. I fear the man upstairs. I don't want him to whack me. So you do things and people think, oh, you're wise. But no, I'm just not doing dumb stuff. You know, it, and a lot of people think, as I say, a lot of things I see people do, that they say it's as adventurous. I'm like, that ain't an adventure. That's just dumb. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen somebody do. And somebody says, oh, but it's no, it's a fool that would do something like that. I ain't doing that. That seemed like a dumb way to die. I'm going to die like that, die like a fool. No, I prefer die in an accident or somebody kill me or some disease take me out, but I'm going to die not like no fool and saying that was adventurous. That looks foolish. But, you know, there's a lot of foolish people in the society, grown foolish people. So in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, just taking some quick notes here on how to avoid scammers and false prophets. Because they create so much pain in the society, so much coldness. Because they, you know, to make a person like a fool is very painful. And notice that Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, say, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Notice, why is there a controversy? Why is there an issue? Because, notice it said, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. So a lot of what is causing the coldness in society is, one of them is no truth. If there's no truth, then there's just error. So I'm just going to do wrong things because I don't know better. Or if I know better, I've rejected truth. And so because I rejected truth, all I'm left with is error and falsehood. And you know the end result of that. There's nothing more painful than ignorance. There's no mercy in the land. So if I'm not showing you mercy, then you become cold and I'm cold. And if you look at the society and the way people are proud to claim that their lack of mercy and their ungodly wickedness is something to do with they being capitalists and they're anti-socialism, man. It's just cold, wicked people. They don't care for poor people. They don't care for themselves. So literally, we are fulfilling this text. Nor knowledge of God in the land. You would think that this is the headquarters of Christianity. But even what you see, a lot of what you realize, you see in the TV land, what they call the televangelist people, most of it is just ignorance, parading itself as worship for God because they use the name of God and Jesus. But a lot of what they talk about, you cannot find it in the Bible. And even when they go to the Bible and they say, okay, they're going to explain what you just read, you'd be like, what kind of explanation is that? So what's the end result? Or what continues? He says, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. So can't even make a marriage vow. So that's what the Bible Christ says in the last days, the marrying, giving into marriage. So blood toucheth blood. So there's so much mass murders that happen within families, where they just wipe out each other after they've committed adultery and stuff. And verse 3 says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. So the whole thing is cursed. The animals are cursed, the fishes are cursed, nature is cursed. And the people, they're not just cursed, but the unique statement here, to me, that's fascinating to watch, is this word languish. Languish, you're sick for a while and suffer long. And even this issue when you see with coronavirus that 10% of the people have a languishing disease. Languishing, they're languishing. That means they're having what they call long COVID, or they're having COVID for long term. So they're languishing, sick, and can't overcome the disease for weeks and months, just suffering until many die. Most people that get any disease and go into a septic shock, where their body go into shock and they have to go into like the ICU, will die within about 2 years. High percentage. So that, you know, you suffer debilitating weakness and fatigue, and then you finally just peg out within 2 years. This is just the reality. And this was the reality that I had mentioned before there was anything called a COVID. That we notice a lot of the diseases in the society are diseases that people suffer for a while before they die. And now we have one more disease that's doing the same thing again. just this long-term sickness, and then people peg out to kick the bucket. So notice here, but all of that has to do with ignorance. All of that has to do with lack of knowledge. Knowledge because the society has rejected knowledge. The society is a society that if it's not genetically engineered and it's not some drug from some pharmaceutical company, it is quackery, ignorance, madness. It is medieval. It's crazy. That's our society. So our society is a drug-loving society. And anything that is not from a person, a white coat, is rejected. You can't heal diseases or take care of the body or feed the body with anything naturally. It has to be drugs, drugs, drugs all day long, both legal and illegal. So to deal with any diseases that is a disease that you need nutrients, the society rejects it. And the society says, we just need drugs. Drugs will not cure disease. Drugs cannot feed the body. You never see a deficiency in any drug. You see a deficiency in nutrients. But most people are deficient and are suffering for lack of nutrients because they have a lack of knowledge. And so they're easily duped. Just imagine a society that believes that we evolve and the solution for the end product of evolution is to genetically engineer solutions to fix the body and just drugs. And that's the end product of evolution. They can control evolution through genetical engineering. This is where society is at, and they're paying a heavy price for it. So notice here, yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are they which strive with the priests. So as we sit here, as I sit here, this is the work that I do, but I know also that you can't even strive with these people. You have to let them do their own thing and suffer their own consequences because they argue. They don't want to hear, they attack. If you say something with Bible, they become very aggressive because they're anti-Bible. And most of these people are anti-Bible. They go to church. It's weird. So notice verse 5. Therefore shall thou fall in the day. So the end product of it is going to be death. And that's the point. See, somebody can argue with you and say all the nonsense they want to say. But in that day, all this reality comes to bump. The reality is still there. Doesn't matter. Therefore they shall fall in the day. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. So they have a lot of false prophets, you know, and as I say, over the years, my understanding of a false prophet has broadened to all the Ponzi schemers and the scammers and the politicians and the whole, everybody that is not empirical when it comes on to their truth. History doesn't mean anything to them. They like to con people and scam people. You almost can't know who's going to run for the presidency, the next election season. Whoever is just going around telling lies, you know, whoever tell the most lies, you think, I think this person is going online and they're telling on TV and social media, telling a whole bunch of lies. They must be planning to run for the presidency. Isn't that a sad commentary on this, where the society is at? And you say, he must be planning to run for the presidency. Man, he's just telling a bunch of lies. You go check out his latest set of lies and deception and trickery. And then you're thinking, well, that's the criteria to be the president, is just lie like anything else. It's fascinating. But there's where we are in our society. You know, you have a con man and you just know who's doing the most conning. And they say, this person, you say, oh, he must be planning to run for the presidency. It's a fascinating, fascinating concept that I just find amazing. That you find the biggest con man and that's the person that's going to run the society. So what's going to happen? Therefore, thou shalt fall in the day, and thy prophet shall fall in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. That's just going to be the reality. Why? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. So this is part of the problem. It's not that information is not there. It's that the people have rejected knowledge, because they don't want to hear certain things. And that's part of the issue, is that sometimes people don't want to hear certain things. They want to hear that you can put in small amount of money and make big money. That's what people want to hear. People want to hear that says, this, you know, you don't have to buy the sweat of your brow, you don't have to eat bread. And most people in church, that's their mindset. They want to believe that. So if some con man come and tell them it's going to go like that, they believe it, even if the person can't demonstrate how. Notice here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. So this is not a passive situation going on. This is actively, they don't want to hear. And that's why I can say certain things definitively, because I've realized as the society, when it comes on to certain things, the society don't want to hear. They've closed their ears to it. They don't want to hear. And when I'm talking about the society, I'm talking about the majority of the society. There's always people within the society that wants to hear certain things. But the majority of the society, no, I don't want to hear that. So there's going to be some consequences. So notice here, Christ says, for this bad behavior, Christ says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will forget also thy children. I mean, see, this is what's happening here. It's not just you have people in the church who have rejected truth. Their children have rejected truth. They've gone secular and they're paying a heavy price for their ignorance and their hate for God and God's people and for the Bible. And notice verse 7 says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. And that's what it is. So whatever blessing and glory that they have, God says, I'm gonna readjust that. And they're going to become a shame. And that's what we're seeing here. So it's embarrassing to see. We see millions of people just duped by a con man and acting as if they're in a cult and total ignorance. What an embarrassment. I'm proud about it. Notice it says, it didn't say that they're going to stop being glorious in what they're being glorifying. It said whatever they're glorifying is, I'm going to make it become their shame. I'm going to change it into their shame. I'm going to change their glory. So they're going to still be there running around and waving flags and acting all ignorant. But it's now their shame, because it's embarrassing when you look at what they're being glorified and you listen to them, you're like, man, that's some serious ignorance there. So that's part of it. So what's the solution? Because it's we paint the sayings of the wise men that are dark, you know, the dark enigma sayings that it's hard to understand and they're not pretty. So what is the solution? So here's a list of solution here that you can find to be general in any society you go. Because one thing one has to realize, that a cult of personality, false prophets, authoritarian dictators, cult leaders are not something that you would see, you would not see in any country. This is part of every country. Nowhere is immune to this. And one thing modern society, modern, quote-unquote modern, sophisticated, the evolved people have shown, that cult leaders and cult personalities are not something that you just see in a third world nation. That's if you go randomly and grab anybody from any modern society, they'll say, oh yeah, that only happened in third world nations, undeveloped nations. And then you say, well, didn't you guys recently have like Adolf Hitler, and he had the most industrialized, sophisticated nation, probably even more sophisticated than America at that point. And he is like, cult of personality, you know, think about all the various different televangelists that fell in the 80s, that damaged, I believe, religiosity in America and opened the way for more darkness. That all was in America. And that was a major part of the population that followed these men. And they were just basically slick city slickers, you know, fast speakers that basically was calling the name of Jesus. And that happened here. Jim Jones, that took a whole bunch of people in Guyana and gave them Kool-Aid. That was from America again. You know, so one could think, well, It's about sophistication. That's the solution. If we have technology, if we have Google, Google will solve the problem of people being conned. You know, and you'll be amazed that sometimes the person is a con man and you can go read up all the cons they do and they become the Treasury Secretary of the United States of America. So it does not matter if the information is out there. People will gladly accept a con man, because all the time, simple part of it is sometimes people just don't know who the person is and they don't care. They'll go look up. If you look it up, you'll be like, this person have such a terrible history. To say that sophistication, this is one of the problems. So this is one of the first solution here. And I'll bring it back up in a few minutes again. This concept here that if it's an advanced nation, that they're not susceptible to con men. And whether it be a false prophet a cult leader, an authoritarian dictator, or a cult of personality. And but we see this. You see, basically, it could be an entertainer. You see somebody like a Michael Jackson or a Kanye West. You can realize that person is cultic in their way of their cadence of thinking, because they have such embellished or over the top view of their scent, their abilities, because they're talented in multiple areas, not just one area. And then they start thinking of themselves as gods. And some people even modernly call themselves, you know, a god. And then you can say, so where could that lead to? How far could that go? But somebody believes that because we have technology in our hands, that we are advanced. And many people, that's why they believe evolution is real, because we advance. And the countries that push that stuff, they have been taken over by cult leaders. You think about many of the leaders from Russia and stuff like that, have millions of people, over 100 million people in a cult, basically, and oppressing them and beating them up. So this is the reality. And they will, it does not matter, because they'll run people into this situation where it damages society and repress society. Because all that type of con man and cult of personality, they always run people into repression. It don't matter what the country is. And no country is immune from it. So it's important for you to know. This is part of your, if you call it, mental immunity. So you know that cult personalities and stuff like that can, it will end up in repression. Because you have to repress, because you have to repress truth. Because truth doesn't matter to an authoritarian. A dictator. It don't matter about truth. What it matters is that, listen, are we going to do whatever crazy thing I'm coming to my head, and if you don't go along with it, I'm going to repress you. Look what happened. I went online yesterday, and there was a lawyer in China that was one of the original people to blow the whistle about this coronavirus, and they locked her up now they gave her 4 years in prison for disrupting information, and I guess he's put the information out there to cause trouble. That's what they said. Something along that line. And they lock her up for 4 years. So truth doesn't matter. Information doesn't matter. Repressing information matters. And repressing anybody that tried to get it out there and break that cycle. Because that's what authoritarianism is. But if you look at it, the last 4 years, what was the main aim of the president? He knew that as long as you keep saying the media and information, any information that does not agree with him is false, it's the same thing. And if you notice, what was the aim of China? The aim of China was not to get any fact out about the disease. The aim of the president was to not get any fact out about the disease. And you think about it, the next person lining up to become the next president of the United States is the governor for Florida, whatever his name is, something DeSantis. And think about, what is his aim? To repress the numbers so you don't know how many people are dying of the disease, so that it looks like he managed the disease well. So it doesn't matter how much people are dying, it matters how it looks. And if you can make it look good, then you can look like a good leader. And so when you understand this, you understand that there's no country, because he probably could be the next. If it's not him, it's probably the ex-CIA leader, which is Pompeo. One of them is Jacqueline, to become the next leader. But you can see the mindset. The mindset is not that I do good as a leader, but I look good. And any information that would not make me look good, you kill it. You destroy it, or destroy the person who tried to put it out. You go and arrest the scientists who tried to put out true numbers to make you look bad. Right? So you can see the mindset. Yeah, and this is how you know, okay, you can know, you know, the person who does that best probably is going to be the next leader of the country. And so no country is immune from this. And if you study this, you can see how leaders, wicked leaders, come about. It is, they know to repress information that makes them look bad. So this is one of the ways you kind of, you know how to understand the function of a false prophet and a scammer. So the scammer is telling you information. He's just not telling you information that make whatever he's trying to scam you look bad. Because if you get all the facts, you might you will realize that ain't gonna work. But that's not what he's gonna do. He's gonna gloss over that information and then give you the information that make the thing sound really good and over the top. And you know, it's good, but it can't be that good. But that's a cult of personality. They embellish certain facts. So that's one of the cues that you know how to do to survive these people and to keep your mind straight and know that says, yeah, I see what they're doing. It don't matter what they do. You just know the information, and any information that goes against them is false, fake news, fake information. The person is just the person is probably a socialist, or you know, is something to muddy the person or muddy the information the person is giving, because the information make them look bad, so that whatever they're doing can look overly good and they're not doing anything. Important point. We could talk just about that point alone. But much more we have here. Notice again this idea here that evil prevail in ignorance. So evil prevail in ignorance. So that's some of what we read in the Bible there. And it's important to note, ignorance makes evil prevail, you know, because that's what it does. Because you don't really know that it's evil until everybody's dead. You know, you just think about a simple thing as knowing that asbestos is dangerous, or knowing that lead is dangerous. Well, ignorance of that is just not good. So you could have a situation where, say, we're here, and the scientists find out that there's danger to pipes with lead. There's danger to asbestos, say, in construction. But somebody in another country don't know. So they could say, well, we need to ban those two things. And the manufacturer is like, man, I have all these warehouses of these asbestos and these lead stuff. What if we just sell it cheap to another country that don't know? You see, that's when that evil action can prevail when there's ignorance, because the other country don't know. Then they're like, oh man, we're getting a deal here. It's a steal. And they buy that stuff up, and then they notice their kids not doing as well in school, and they notice that there's people coming down with certain cancers, and they'd be like, what's going on? Then they don't know, they're burying people, and they're having all kind of mental developmental problem in the kids, and they'd be like, what's going on? Evil prevail when there's ignorance. So it's important to note. So knowledge is power. That's why any dictator, notice places again that are repressive, whether it be Iran, Saudi Arabia, China, and those countries, they are very much don't want too much information get out to the people. You can't make the people get informed about certain things. So you have to close certain information. And that's why throughout the Bible, you always saw that the prophets were persecuted, because when the government got control of the priesthood and the regular priest line system, the people were preaching in the mainline church, then the prophet, not the Lord, would raise up the prophet. So now the aim now of the leadership was to kill the prophet, because the prophet now is circumnavigating that system. That's the concept of a prophet anyhow. He's not part of the church mainline structure of how to get information out. So you have to go stop the prophet, because you have to stop the information. You have to stop the press from publishing information. Another interesting thing is that evil prevails in deception. So the more deceived the people are with facts and what is truth and what is whatever, then evil can prevail, because nobody knows what is truth. You know, evil prevails in laziness. One of the reasons why multi-level marketing strategies work is because they stress laziness. They stress you're going to get all this money and have to do no work. You have to build a business the conventional way, the hard way. You're going to do it the easy way. So con men work great in a lazy environment. That's why they prey on the poor community, because the poor community often are underworked, underemployed, or they overwork and underpay. So they're easily latch on to anything that's going to get them out of that situation. But the best way to get out of that situation is to gain some knowledge, gain a trade, a skill, and read your way out of poverty and work your way out of poverty. But that's the hard way. So no prosperity God. Notice you never hear a prosperity gospel preacher preaching that to their members. That's why their members are susceptible, probably the most susceptible people in the society, to con men and Ponzi schemes and multi-level marketing strategies, because they're not going to preach that. Because if they preach that, they'll be preaching against their own self. Covetousness also makes evil prevail. Most of the time you see people going to war. It's almost all the time they're going to war to steal somebody oil, somebody gold, somebody land, vineyard. Look what's going on in Israel. It ain't nothing to do with the promised land. It's to do with stealing people's property. So evil prevail on the covetousness. It's important for you to know what's going on, so that you know normally you don't partake and you don't support evil people when they rise, because they rise all the time in various different countries. This is just something, a human problem that you see every country. Another important point here that one has to use as a mental, as I say, gymnastic or principles to avoid being duped by con men and scammers and false prophets is the dangers of soundbite politics and religion. Very important for you to know that there's danger in it. When a person doesn't explain their platform, what are you going to do? How are you going to do this? You know, why are you doing this? It's that's when dangerous. You watch a con man, he don't give you out the information, he give you out the sound bites. He hits certain key points in his presentation. And as long as he hit those key points, he get you. If you susceptible to those key points. So you gotta know, no. Every evil and terrible thing comes from ignorance. You know, this God comes as the Word. Jesus Christ was described as the Word. You know, he wasn't the song. He wasn't, you know, the miracle. He wasn't the healer even. That was not his main, you know, view him that way. You view him as the Word came to educate you. He's not trying to pull a fast one. A fast talk. When you think a person is a fast talker, a con man, what is that person? Person talk fast. They don't give you information. They never tell you what they're going to do. They just tell you it's going to be great. And you're going to be on a beach and you're going to be enjoying yourself drinking pina colada. And you'll be like, really? And they sweep you. You're done. But they never tell you how, right? So the dangers of soundbite politics and religion. And most of our politics and religion is soundbites. There's no detail. And most of religion is soundbite. You know, Christ did it all on the cross. You know, you could come to Jesus and you gonna be blessed. And yeah, but give me detail, like how am I gonna be blessed? Because most of the people in your church is poor. So how am I not gonna be like them? Soundbite. So there has to be beyond that soundbite. And that's the trick with, as I say, most politics. It's just giving you some catchphrases. And the better they are catchphrases. And nationalistic catchphrases are the worst, most dangerous, because it's basically dog whistling, just saying things that make it sound good. And they dupe people. Ask for more information. Get more details. Ask questions. And after you ask questions, ask more questions. And after you ask more questions, ask more questions. And normally that's when a lot of these nonsense unravel. Scammers unravel fast. They get even upset and flustered. And you could ask sometimes the basic question. And I've been in a situation where people are eating it hook, line, and sinker. And I ask a very innocent, basic question. And the person get flustered, mad. And I'm like, wow. And I realize, oh, it's a scammer. Because the basic question is such a simple question, they can't answer it. And everybody was eating it because that's the deception, right? That's the voodoo. That's the Gregory they're playing on people. All right, another point here is many questions cannot be answered in a soundbite or a catchphrase. So it's important for you to know that many questions cannot be answered. It's just impossible. No, this is important not for politics, but for life in general. There's most people, if it's not a meme, a soundbite, a catchphrase, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to learn. It's too much information. That's why you can't do what I do here. And, you know, it's just, I know it's almost impossible to have a large audience because most people, they can't take too much information. It overwhelms their brain. But most questions cannot. The mere fact that you're asking a question, the person didn't answer. It's not obvious. If a person is talking for 20 minutes and then they said, is there any question? Well, any question coming that is worth a question, that is something that begs a question, cannot be answered in 20 minutes. I mean, in a soundbite. So that's where the problem. And most people, their attention span is not to get anything beyond a soundbite. They just want, you know, you've seen a political ad. John is bad for America. It's bad for politics. It's bad for your future. Vote for his opponent. You know, that's a political advertisement. Well, and they probably give an example without fleshing it out why the person is bad. And it probably true and it probably false. You don't know. So now if you go ask, hey, opponent, why is John bad for politics, bad for America, bad for... They get flustered because now they have to flesh it out. But in a soundbite, boom, fast, done. And that's how most people vote. And that's why most people are confused. Because they're confused because they never ask for detail. You ask for detail, you know, I guess that's why they do some of these town halls and stuff. And you find these people, they don't answer the question. They just spin. They just keep spinning. And they start attacking somebody for something. And they're like, yeah, but still answer the question. No, they don't. And that's when you know a con man. Con man never answered the question, really. Another point here that's important is that deception of things having tech. So deception of people believing that having technology and being sophisticated means the person is a sophisticated thinker. That's a deception. You know, I'm talking to you on technology. Use technology. It doesn't mean I'm a sophisticated thinker. It don't mean that I can figure out certain things. It just doesn't mean. I've seen some of the people who are easily most duped are some of the brightest people in the society. Bright in the sense of they can understand certain technology. But understand technology don't mean that you're a sophisticated thinker. Think about it. Most of the softwares that I use and you use are written by people that have autism. They have no social understanding. Their social understanding is limited because of the disease they have or the genetic problem that they have from birth. But yet they write some of the most sophisticated software. Almost all the software you use are written by people who have autistic problem and stuff. So what do you do with that? But socially, they're hard to connect with. And they don't understand social norms and stuff like that. They can't take social cues. Brain just don't work like that. And that's the reality. That's me talking from somebody who has that problem and they explain this thing. But yet you find, go to Silicon Valley, very rich, and they are advanced technologically, but socially they don't understand. So what do you do with that? So somebody could say, oh, a sophisticated thinker because the person knows to write software. No, not really. They know to write software and that's it. A person that's an artist doesn't mean they have other social skills developed. So don't be duped by that. Feeling like having a cell phone in your hand means that you're sophisticated. There has to be something that your brain has to be able to develop a certain way of thinking so that you can see a con man. As I say, a con man always suppress numbers and information. And you look in any country that there's a repressive leader, and what is he repressing primarily? Free information, anti any free information. That's why if you look, it cannot be controverted. You look, the main aim for the last 4 years was to attack information. That was what the president did. Because that's what con men do. You take out any fact or information, and especially if it makes you look bad. And so, oh, they're just doing this because they're anti-American, or they're doing it because they're socialists, or they're this and that. Yeah, but is the information factual? Well, that's not the point. The point is I'm just going to take them out because they're making me look bad. You see, that's what you know a con man. Facts and truth and history doesn't matter. What matters is just anything that makes them look good. And if it makes them look bad, then it's bad, right? And this is a primary aim of con men and dictators and repressive regimes. They kill information. So when you hear people start talking about this, you know that they're a con man. I don't care who it is. It always works out that way. It is you kill the competition, especially if the competition has to do with facts. I can't overemphasize this. And too often people caught up with it and they believe because they have a Google, but they don't realize what they're searching is other con men that never gives information. They just say that, oh, it's a conspiracy. Yeah, but truth is empirical. Truth can be proven. Another important point here is confusion of belief that reality TV programs are factual. And that was... That this point is independent of the fact that the last 4 years we're dealing, because none of this I'm talking about per se has to do with the president. I'm just talking about in general, because you know one of the biggest narrative in the Bible is false prophets and false leaders. But notice false leaders send prophets into hiding or kill them. Because the prophet is normally the press, P-R-E-S-S. It's the old press where we get the concept of a press. Is from when the Reformation happened in the Dark Ages, which is our main focus, and I'll kind of tie the point up tomorrow. But when we talk about the Reformation in the Dark Ages, where God cut it short in righteousness, is one of the solution to destroy the Catholic Church power in Europe, and its whole repressing Europe and keeping it to the Dark Ages was the press, P-R-E-S-S, the ability to print the Bible. The press was not come about as New York Times and, you know, Fox News and NBC News and USA Today. And that's not the original press. The original press was literally a printing press that was used to duplicate the Bible. Because as long as the Bible was not in print and it was not in the regular language of the people, the Catholic Church reigned. Evil reign in ignorance. Evil reign in deception. And if there's something to unravel that deception and you stop making it circulate and you destroy it, evil reign. So that's why you notice it doesn't matter if, say, for instance, you're living under Gaddafi or any of these repressive leaders, the press has to go. Anything that show truth has to be destroyed. That's why if you notice right now in China, they have a massive campaign to shut down Christian churches and to reinterpret the Bible and doing all these things. The Catholic Church did the same thing. When they couldn't stop the press, they put out the NIV, the New International Version. Why? Because they had to reinterpret and change certain parts of the Bible that is not complementary to their false religion. Anything to stop the truth. And as long as you understand that the aim is to stop the truth and to stop the press, and to stop anybody that preach that doesn't agree with their system. But this is independent of them. This is just how evil reigns. It reigns in ignorance. And it reigns in confusion. So again, reality TV is not real. Most people don't realize that. It's scripted. These are not real people with real experiences. These are fakers and a bunch of losers. And as long as you understand that, it's just scripted to look like the person is successful because it's just confusion, right? It confuses the society. We don't partake of that. Another important point here for you to know, a PhD or a person in white coat does not make a person, the person speaking, false or true. Important to note, a person that has a PhD speaking, it doesn't mean the person is true or false or true. That has to be independent. That's why they have a thing called, you verify based upon peer review. The peers have to review it. So to see if the information is factual, if the methodology is properly followed. So you can't attack a person because they have a PhD or they're wearing a white coat per se. Even though we have a society that I can back that up, I can show that we do have a society of PhDs and white coats that are anti-anything natural. No, some of that is changing because some of them do wear white coats and have PhD. But the majority is anti because they have a philosophy that tell them that if it's not a chemical, the body it doesn't benefit the body when it comes down to disease. Very ridiculous thinking, but it doesn't still mean. So where somebody start to take out, they start to go after anybody that has a certain level of understanding. It doesn't mean a person that has these things is either wrong or right. It has to be evaluated and tested, each idea. But you can just carte blanche and just wipe that out. Now, I can say a carte blanche statement because I know, like I say, unlike other countries, but in America, they're very aggressive against anything natural. But it's not something that happened in academia. It happened because of the Standard Oil owner, I think the Rockefellers. They created a system that basically created goons to go after anything natural. And that's what changed the system in America. But that's just, it's a history that you have to go study. And you read about it, you see that what I'm saying is rock solid. They created this wicked system that is anti-plant and anti-God. So notice here, to be a free thinker, another important point, almost there, is to be a free thinker does not mean everything religious is bad and everything scientific is good, or vice versa, right? Because that's what a free thinker is. You know, there's a large part of, especially young men in our society, that if you talk to them, they believe, if you say Bible, you must be ignorant, and if you say science, you must be right. And they're paying a very heavy chemical price for that. Very heavy chemical price with their lives and their limbs and their health. Very ridiculous in their conclusion. So we have gone back, we're moving back to the dark ages where the Bible, both from a religious point of view and a secular point of view, is becoming hated. And anything religious must be bad and anything scientific must be good. And vice versa in some environments. If you're a free thinker, you analyze everything and one by one and take it piece by piece. Everything must be analyzed, even what you hold as truth. Is what's being a free thinker. So this is one of the things that you do again. What it is, you have a rigorous approach to information and anything that somebody putting out there. You want to know who the person, why they're putting out there, who's sponsoring them, what's their philosophy, so forth and so on. So a false prophet and a scammer does not survive well in this environment where it's always, I don't care who you are, if you're a religious person or if you're a scientific person, I'm more rigorously investigate what you're saying. I want to see the facts. I'm not going to go by a soundbite. I don't care if you're on a reality TV program. I want the information. In that environment, probably a few scammers and false, but they have to be very good to slip through. But the majority of them are going to get weeded out real quick. One or two questions. You look at their bio, look at who's supporting them, who backing them. Boom, they're done. You get it. Because all repressive evildoers always repress information. That's why you're never going to get the information out of Florida of what's going on with COVID. Never going to get it because you have a person who's planning to become the next president there. Without a false prophet, there's no way a average person would swallow certain lies. So you can imagine if you don't have a false prophet, most things people won't swallow. You need a con man to make them swallow it. So it's important to note. And if you remember in the 80s again, a lot of the televangelists messed up America, made America more cold because they duped a lot of America. And all America believed them and only to find out that they're just a bunch of false prophets and evildoers. And that's important to note. So as I say, when you have independent thinking, where you don't close your mind to certain things or open your mind to certain things, and you independently review certain things, you ask questions, you read, you make sure books, which is another important last point, your books is not your enemy. You make sure that the Bible is not your enemy. Fact is not your enemy. The press is not your enemy. You independently verify whatever the press is saying, whatever the book is saying. And you peer review stuff. You analyze stuff. You meditate upon stuff. You read the Bible. You compare what you're looking at. A false, a prophet, a scammer, people who bandoozle people, who are multi-level marketers, people who do wars of conquest, they don't trick you. Persecutors, because they're trying to suppress information. Dictators don't survive well when there's free flow of information. A lot of time, just having a book is simply the solution to the problem. False prophet, people like your Rockefellers and stuff, who basically have made America become just a swimming in a sea of chemicals. They don't dupe you. You know, how are you going to tell me that says a herb can't help you because it's not been scientifically whatever? And then there's databases and clinical research that's been done on these herbs, but the information is suppressed. And yet it's out there in broad daylight for you to go read online. So you don't be false teachers, don't work in an environment where there's a rigorous yearning and searching for truth. They survive well when information is suppressed. And this is what created the dark cages. With the Catholic Church, they repress information. And as long as the people were superstitious and ignorant and filled with conspiracy theory, the Catholic Church flourished, and evil flourished, and darkness and pain and death and flourished. And this is what they're trying to do to us. And doing to, in many countries, free information can flow, because every country that represses information is pain, suffering, and death. The poor people and the rich people, everybody suffers. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you for your word, for your deliverance, your guidance. I pray that you may bless us, dear Lord, that we might not reject truth and die and suffer because of this. May we live, dear Lord, and may we have our being and our movement indeed. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks again for being with me here on Revive Reform Radio. Looking forward to talking to you again live tomorrow morning, where we should talk about natural health. Until then, I pray that you may continue to walk with the King.